morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, this is KTEP's membership drive. We want to thank everybody who's already made their pledge. This is our first day, so if you haven't made your pledge already, we hope that you go ahead and do so. But we also want to invite you to come onto the UTEP campus and drop off your pledge. And while you're there, maybe pick up a few plants at the Native Plant Sale, which is happening this very weekend. And to talk to us about the Native Plant Sale is John White, Garden Curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Garden. So we managed to pry away from the gardens this weekend to come and talk to us. Welcome back, John.
Thank you very much.
Well, the Native Plant Sale, as we mentioned, is happening today. It's today and tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens. And I'm sure the peak of business has already sort of gone by, because I know that lots of people like to line up early, bring their little wagons, and carry off the best selections. And I know you guys have so many plants available. How many selections or how many varieties or species of plants do you have available?
We'll probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 100 to 150 different species, but about 3,000 to 4,000 plants.
Wow.
So there'll be trees, shrubs, you know, grasses, ground covers, so a lot of choice. And they're desert adapted. Not all of them are native, but, native and desert adapted, for people to look at. We have 1 gallons and 5 gallons and 15-gallon size plant material. So there's a lot of choice to look at, and you can kind of see some of the plants in the garden, so you can see what the plants look like grown up. And not in little pots, because native plants, unfortunately, don't look that good in pots. And
that's
once you
right.
get them in the ground, they take off and look a lot better.
And definitely. Maybe some of these native plants have already gone through their peak phase of beauty. And so what you might be purchasing is something that you may have to wait another year for. But I think that's what the volunteers there at the plant sale are going to be really helpful with. If you have questions about what a plant may look like or how big it's going to get, there will be plenty of volunteers there to help you out. Correct, John?
That's right. We'll have maybe our co-host here.
I'll be out there.
But we have plant pros that are helping out, give information, landscaping information, wells plant information. We'll have a good selection of plants, and it'll be something somebody needs to come out for, both today and tomorrow, 9 to 4. We take credit cards, checks, cash. UTEP, unfortunately, along with TxDOT, has a lot of construction projects going on in the area. So be wary of, maybe some slowdowns with traffic and stuff. But
there's a
we are open.
We are open
for business,
so
come by.
The one thing I like about this plant sale is that it's a plant sale for plant lovers. You're not going to come in here and just bulldoze through the aisles and load up your wagon and walk away and check out. You're actually going to want to walk and wander and ask questions and look around. And there's so much knowledgeable people that are going to be out there answering your questions. It's really a conversation that you have. It's not like a big box store where you're just kind of just going through the motions.
Right.
So it's a really great opportunity for people that are, avid native gardeners or people that are looking to kind of incorporate more native plants into their landscape it's a really great starting point to be able to come out there and see. We're really fortunate to have a sale, a botanical garden like this in this magnitude in this area. We really have a lot of challenges with our climate, our growing conditions, but gosh, this is your showcase piece, and let's promote it. It gives back so much as far as education.
Right, and one of the ideas on the garden was to have it as an educational garden, botanic garden, so people can see some of the different plants from the Chihuahuan Desert area and, how to utilize them in the landscape. And so we've had graduates of UTEP that have told me later, I never knew you were there. They walked all the way around.
That's what people say about KTEP also.
they walk all the way around the building and they never go through the garden.
And
so, when they rediscover it, then they're they go, wow, how have I missed this?
Well, we need to start talking about some of the plants. So I know that some of the very popular plants that you have, some of the first to go out the door, and I'm sure you have plenty of these, are the penstemons.
Right. Penstemons are a beautiful plant. A lot of them have been in bloom for probably close to a month now. And we'll have some more coming on, you know, as you go on in the summer. There's different species that, you know, bloom early and then others that pick up in the summer, while as the spring ones begin to set their seed and they start to fade and you got new ones coming on. And Pensimen's a beautiful plant, a great attractor of hummingbirds, and they are temperamental in their watering habits. So, you know, if you tend to be an overwater, a lot of times you'll rot them out. And so you want to be cautious with your watering. You want to give moisture to the plants. You know, when they're young, they're going to need a little bit more moisture. But as they develop the root systems, you can start opening up your water schedule where you're not watering as often, and you'll give them enough to keep some moisture in the ground, but not keep them overwatered. So you want, you know, well-drained soil is important with a lot of plants. But the Pensimens are just gorgeous, and they have the big spiky flowers. So, you know, as a tip, don't put them in an area where you're going to have a lot of high wind exposure, because they will break in the wind when they get up pretty tall, and you have a gusty wind come through, you'll have some of the bloom stalks snap on you. So put them in an area where they've got a little bit of protection, but they'll give you great, great color.
And they also like to volunteer themselves quite freely.
Yes, quite
an investment when you get a Pensimen
plant. Right. You only need one.
Yes. And sometimes the Pensimens do tend to interbreed, and you will end up with some plants of different colors than what you originally started with. So they'll
Your own science experiment.
So the world of genetics in front of me. So if you want to keep your stands pure, you know, when the plants start to set seed, you clip the stalks off and get rid of them. Don't let the seed fall, because if there's some other Pensimens blooming at the same time, you're probably going to get a mixing, and it'll show up in the seed.
So what other favorites are you offering?
We have several salvias. Those are also great hummingbird plants, mm-hmm. bringing in butterflies and hummingbirds. But they're beautiful plants. Salvia greggii is one that's been used for a long, long time. There's a lot of different colors out on it. We have the little blue salvia, the Chamadroides, which is a great little salvia, blue-colored. So it gives you a little, you know, gray color to the foliage, blue flowers on it. So it's great to use. Not a real large plant, so it kind of can tuck in some of those tight little areas and help fill in an area there. Of course, we'll have some of the agaves and cactus, some yuccas. That these will be smaller. So again, as Norman was saying, they grow. They'll fill in. They just start out small, and they don't look very big, but then they start to put size on. They'll fill out an area, and those are some of probably the most drought-hardy plants when you start looking at cactus and agaves and succulents, but they do need some water. So, again, the key is water, even with our natives. But we'll have some Tacomas. We have the yellow bells that are native to our Franklin Mountains area, the narrow-leafed. And then we have some hybrids that they've developed that have, you know, like Orange Jubilee that does very well.
That's a great one. Yeah. I like that one.
You know, kind of freezes down depending on how cold it gets during the winter, but it always seems to come back, and it comes back with a fury.
You never would have known that you'd cut that thing down over the winter.
It'll be 6-8 feet tall, you know, and a lot of orange flower on it, and it's a beautiful plant, does well. Creosote is another plant of our area. When you go again outside of town and you see the dark green shrubs out on the hot desert floor, most of those are creosote. And creosote is a very, very drought hardy plant. Needs a little water again to get started and get going, but once it gets going, it'll mine water from a pretty good distance. It's an evergreen, has that wonderful smell when the rains do come into our area. Mm-hmm. And so you have that beautiful smell, and always, you know, the smell of the desert.
And I just want to point out also that you don't want to prune a creosote. If anybody drives by Eastwood High School, they have creosotes out sort of on the parkway adjacent to McRae, and they have creosotes growing there, but they're pruned down, and they are really funky looking. You don't want to do that to a
creosote hedges.
Yeah. We also have some genius pruners that have pruned – I just noticed the sotals and the ocotillos on mesa.
They prune them up into little pineapples.
Pineapples, and then they just top the ocotillos, chop
them
off.
They look strange and, when they start growing back. Like.
And Mesa, I believe, is a state highway, not a city street. So I'm thinking we may add TxDOT involved in this one. And they are always very hard to train. So a word to the wise is if you see ocotillos pruned off, please don't do that. That just destroys the whole nature of the plant. Not a good thing to do.
The basic thing to about native plants, you sort of want them to embrace their natural shape, right?
Right. Yeah, if you're going to use native plants, you kind of decide to adopt a little bit more, low maintenance, easygoing landscape and garden. So you don't want to start all of a sudden trying to make it a formal garden and start the pruning practice and things like that, where you're going to have to start doing heavy pruning, and you're just, asking for trouble once you start that.
Yeah, a Texas sage is not a topiary.
Right, right. It's not meant to be in a ball shape or a square.
That's right.
And you know what? For your ocotillos, if you already topped them, be good material for some mother stock and start getting all those side shoots coming out and take cuttings and start other new plants, because that's probably the only good thing you can get out of a topped ocotillo at this point. It's just plant material.
I mean, if you got an ocotillo that's got a couple canes on it that are too tall, or something's wrong with them, then go all the way to the bottom and take them off. Don't top them. We've got one that was donated to the garden that's 30 feet tall. So ocotillos will get some size on them. So again, right plant, right place. If you buy an ocotillo, realize that that ocotillo will get up. It's upright growing, but can approach, 20, 30 feet in height. So don't put it in front of a window if you don't want the ocotillo in front of the, showing in the window. So you have to move it over.
Again,
or use a smaller shrub, but,
exactly.
Be careful with it.
That's one of my favorites. It's so it's so interesting, when the flowers come out, and the leaves drop, and then the flowers and leaves and everything all together. And then when we get some nice rain on the mountainside, you can start seeing them green up, and they kind of come to the forefront as you're walking up.
And they look so soft and fuzzy.
Yeah, they do. They look so beautiful.
Yeah. But the ocotillos we'll have at the sale are all seed grown.
Oh.
So ethically, somebody goes out and digs a sotal or a ocotillo or a prickly pear or a rainbow cactus out in the desert, that's really not a good thing to do ethically. Right. So we will have seed-grown ocotillos, so you'll have all the roots in the bucket. You don't have to worry about that. So that's the way to go.
Well, the native plant sale is taking place today and tomorrow. Today till 4 o'clock, tomorrow 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we invite you to go out. And even if you don't have a mind of purchasing a plant, just at least to go and tour the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens, or maybe you want to pick up a plant for a friend or a family member who may have a bare space in their garden. It's a really educational. It's kind of fun, too, because the volunteers are there. And you can also find information on the native plant sale on the Good to Grow page. That's at ktep.org. And John White, garden curator for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens on the UTEP campus, thanks again for coming and gracing us with your presence and your knowledge.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you, Denise.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Thanks so much for listening today. And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.